Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Browning,
your host. If you know your home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. Join me on social media by searching for the handle Space and Reason. Last Friday, I enjoyed a late afternoon happy hour with two lovely humans, and when the topic of gift giving came up and how sometimes painful it is, because many of us don't need what the gift giver is giving, then it's awkward. I mentioned the idea I had during COVID that went over so well that we've continued to use it even now, that we can have parties and we can gather. It applies to kids and adults alike. My friends suggested I do an episode about it, and personally, I thought, well, it doesn't pertain enough to the topic of homes to justify it. But after further examination, they persuaded me that this idea, because it cuts down on the amount of accumulation of things in a home, pertains enough to warrant spreading the idea. So here we are. Who do you know that is struggling with what to do for an upcoming birthday? Share this episode with them. And thanks in advance for helping me to get the word out. We enjoy little bits of history in this podcast, so I wanted to read to you an excerpt from The Atlantic of an article titled The Strange Origins of American Birthday Celebrations by Joe Pinsker, which I'll link to in the show notes. It reads, quote, "The idea that everyone should celebrate their birthday is, weirdly, not very old itself. Not until the 19th century, perhaps around 1860 or 1880, did middle-class Americans commonly do so, and not until the early 20th century were birthday celebrations a tradition nationwide. In fact, the song, Happy Birthday, is not far beyond its own 100th birthday. Throughout history, there are scattered examples of birthday festivities around the globe, but the honorees tended to be either rulers, such as Egyptian pharaohs, or powerful members of an upper class. For a while, a similar pattern held in the United States. Birthdays were for rich people or national heroes. Americans celebrated George Washington's birthday, for instance, but for everyone else, a birthday, even if they knew the date, was just another day." End quote. I found another article in the Oakland Post online that informs us another part of history that influenced birthdays was the development of religious practices. Tafiq Zaman wrote for LinkedIn that pagans believed evil spirits lurked on days of significant changes, such as a day where one ages a year older. The Greeks also believed each person had a spirit attend their birthday to keep watch. The Christian church considered birthday celebrations evil for the first few hundred years of its existence for two reasons. The belief that humans were born with an original sin, and the early belief birthdays were tied to pagan gods. Researchers have noted that various groups throughout the celebrations were self-centered and materialistic, took attention away from God, and were a bad influence on children. According to HuffPost, this perspective only changed around the 4th century when Christians began celebrating the birthday of Jesus as Christmas. End quote. It is no surprise that celebrating women's birthdays wasn't a thing until far later, a sign that men were deemed more important, as we women hadn't woke up yet to claim our stake in the world as just as important. You're a human, and I'm a human, and no one life is more important than another. When thinking of the mindset around birthdays, the same article later explained, quote, recognition of birthdays heralded the growing individualism that began to crest in Western culture during the 18th century. Besides individualism and consumerism, research touches on how birthdays could be the beginning of exaggerated anxiety related to life plans. A birthday can be anxiety-provoking since it provides a milestone by which individuals can compare their status, accomplishments, and appearance with other people who are the same age, historian Chudikov said in his book. It's kind of like a train. Are you ahead of time, on time, or behind time? The other thing I learned from this article is that sugary cakes were only available to high-class people due to the luxury and scarcity of the necessary ingredients before the Industrial Revolution allowed quicker production of ingredients and products like cakes. The candles came from the Greeks. They offered moon-shaped cakes to Artemis as a tribute to the lunar goddess. To recreate the radiance of the moon and her perceived beauty, Greeks lit candles and put them on cakes for a glowing effect. Zaman said blowing out candles and making a wish was part of German celebrations originally invented by bakers. Kids got one candle each year they'd been alive, plus another to symbolize the hope of living for at least one more year. So now we have the cake and the candles. Turn off the lights and sing Happy Birthday to You. In 1893, Patty Hill and Mildred J. Hill wrote the base of what we know as a song they called Good Morning to All. The version we all know today comes from a songbook published in 1924 by Robert Coleman. Coleman's version of this same song added a few extra lyrics to Hill's original song and quickly overshadowed the original lines. And that's the Happy Birthday song. Fascinating, right? That seems so recent. 1924, that's not that long ago. So now let's get on to the idea. Imagine we're 8 months into COVID, and as we all can remember when gathering wasn't an option, what do we do for celebrating a kid's birthday? Well, this is where my idea began, way back in 2020. I'm happy to report we can do the same for an adult today. So this absolutely transfers. Keep listening if you're looking for ideas for adults too. We chose the number 8 because it represented how old my son was going to be. I had him write down 8 things he loved the most or was most passionate about in the world. This includes subject matter, people, sports, games, topics of any kind, tell me 8 things you love. I looked back in our family annual to get that list for you here today as an example. So for that year, his list was riding outside, video games, his best friend, pizza, animals, reading, Harry Potter, and sports. Now grab a paper and pen because these are the categories you can write down, no matter if the person you are celebrating is 8 or 48, these are the ways in which you celebrate all of the things that they love. So everything on their list is converted into, number 1, a gift, or number 2, an experience, or number 3, the theme of the cake, or number 4, decorations for the day or weekend or week. So for example, using this list, my son got a new scooter for riding outside. He got a Madden video game. He had his best friend over to spend the night and they had pizza. We rented a 3D movie, The Lion King, so the boys could watch it with our 3D glasses. Notice in what I just told you, we've already accounted for 5 items now on his list. The following day, we hosted our family to watch an NFL game and have cake. The cake was Harry Potter theme, and he got some Harry Potter themed bed sheets. He got a few other things like fishing lures and books. But really the point of it is that the person truly feels seen and celebrated for more than a few hours. The next year, he wanted to do 9 things. Even when we gave him a choice, you could have a party. He said, I would rather have a reflection party. And the next year, he chose the same. And the next year, he chose the same. He has never since opted for a traditional birthday party again. He feels absolutely seen and honored when we do his birthday celebration in this way.
I prefer to have a reflection party because it's not like a singular party where all the kids just come and there's like very mobby and you have to pay attention to everyone so no one feels left out, and it only lasts for a couple of hours and then your birthday's over. That's it. And then on the reflection party, it happens over a couple of days. And that allows me to feel more seen and loved. And it feels like a birthday, like an actual birthday. That's all I got.
That's all I got, huh? He feels like birthday parties with a lot of kids, many of whom are just acquaintances, don't mean as much. When we do it this way, he gets quality, in-depth time with the people that matter most to him. Last year, Mom and Dad even landed on his list, so we each took him to do a special outing alone. My husband took him fishing for an afternoon. I took him out to sushi and to the zoo. And the zoo was because his love for animals landed on the list again. These are usually in the form of a certificate on the day of, and they don't happen necessarily on the actual day of his birthday, partly because he loves looking forward to something, and his birthday happens to fall in the early winter, so it doesn't make it ideal for outdoor things. Fast forward to birthday 11, and I said, I didn't expect you to still want to do this, But this list we're honoring is becoming uncomfortably long because he couldn't even think of 11 things he's super passionate about. So we capped it at 10 things. And I expect we will continue to do this for the foreseeable future. Now let's talk about how this could be translated to adults. 5 things, 3 things, whatever the number. If you asked me what are 5 of my most favorite things that I enjoy in life right now, it would be 1, walks in a new neighborhood that I've never been to look at houses. 2, perusing a nursery, looking at plants. 3, going out to a restaurant I've never been to and having food that I've never had. Bonus points if the food origin is from another country and I don't know what I'm eating. I love that so much. I'm an adventurous eater. 4 would be enjoying a flight of something, ciders or sours or beer at a brewery. 5 would be getting a manicure and pedicure with no place in particular to be afterward. Guess what that does? It honors my person. It's a reflection of who I am in that moment or in that period of time. It honors the things I most love. And those things are allowed to change every year. What a partner might guess you like could be old news. Also, guessing sucks. There are still elements of surprise intertwined in this concept because the people who are surrounding you are choosing the dates, getting the reservations, finding the neighborhood, researching the breweries. It takes out the component of receiving stuff I don't want or need. And with the kid version, it completely removes that altogether because we aren't getting a gift from 13 kids at a party that hardly know my son or know our values. Worse yet is the expectation of goodie bags for each child. And if you've listened to this podcast from the beginning, you know I loathe the idea of goodie bags, because inevitably it's all tiny, cheap things that end up in a landfill after the kid has looked at them and the novelty has worn off 10 minutes later. Then it's in your house for you to organize or gift forward or put in a landfill. All of that is under the category of a hard pass. No, no, and just no. Every parent who is at least minimally aware of the struggle our earth is experiencing right now hates when their kid brings home a goodie bag. End of rant. Good news, this idea of a reflection party removes that altogether. Next, if you want to make a really big statement, this concept still makes it possible. So if your partner has bubble bath on her list, it's up to you to make it special. Maybe you get a hotel reservation somewhere that has a view from the bathtub. Maybe you bring her brunch in the tub at home and she can enjoy it in peace. For my mani-pedi item, perhaps my best friend surprises me and shows up to get one with me. Maybe it happens at a day spa trip somewhere. The ways in which you can honor the items on the list are limitless. Maybe your partner lists steak as one of their favorite things, and you honor it by signing up for access to Masterclass online, which, by the way, gives them access for an entire year. And then together, take the Meat Cuts and Quality Masterclass taught by Chef Keller. And with it, you could go to your local butcher shop and he can choose what you'll grill tonight. Maybe a gift of Spiceology Dry Rub accompanies it. I love consumables for gifts. Nothing to clean, and it will get enjoyed over time and used up. To recap, settle on a number. Maybe it's however old your kid is going to be. Maybe it's always the same number for your family. 5 things, 10 things. Remember, this is not a list of gifts I want. It is a list of things I love most in the world. This could be a person. It could be a specific kind of food. It could be sports in general or a specific sport, soccer. What you do with that information is where you can get creative. You honor every item on the list with either a gift, an experience, decorating that way, or having the cake be in that theme. Each item on the list is addressed once, maybe even twice if it works out that way. For example, getting my son a Madden video game addressed his love for sports and video games in one gift. And then we had extended family over to enjoy an NFL game on TV and have cake. That was a secondary way to honor sports again. What do we call this? Our family calls it a reflection party because it kind of says, this is a reflection of me and the things I love most at this point in time. There is no guessing, and it eliminates the emphasis on consumerism and gifts. Yes, gifts are involved, but this concept is so much more than presents. It honors the person as a whole and everything that they are truly excited about at that period in time. A reflection party is truly a celebration of that person and everything that is important to them and everything that they love. It is the essence of that person. It is a reflection of that person. And although I came up with the idea in 2020 because we couldn't gather, my son has requested this every year since. And that means this feels more fulfilling. It feels better. It's less stressful. It's more enjoyable than a traditional kids' party. And this will be year 5 of this concept. If you have Googled best birthday ideas or unique birthday ideas, you're not alone. Each year, most of us are tasked with trying to figure out a way to make our loved one feel special. And this concept honors them without making it so stressful. Now, although I only have one child, I would imagine this could come into play, especially if you have multiple children, because then the other children can get on board doing the activities that the birthday child deems most fun or most special. What do you do with sentimental things? Maybe you're looking at a stack of art that's come home with your kid. Is your home, basement, or attic being taken over by sentimental items? Little outfits that are so cute, you can't get rid of them. Do you find it hard to get rid of anything? Maybe you have no trouble getting rid of things unless it's associated with your child. How do you determine what to keep, and how do you let some things go? How do you organize things that are keepsakes? Episode 8, linked in the show notes, is all about sentimental items. I know they can be overwhelming, and you're not alone. From tips and tricks to questions to ask yourself about your space and your reason, you'll find a lot of value in episode 8. Another one you might be interested in is episode 18, Creating Spaces for Kids. I'll link that as well in the show notes. How many projects do you have laying around unfinished? As a realtor, I see firsthand that garages can get lost in unfinished projects. Guest rooms can become junk rooms where unfinished projects get closed behind a door. I've read statistics that more than half of U.S. homeowners have at least one uncompleted home project. Unfinished projects can add stress to your daily life, especially when you see the unfinished projects laying around every single day and rendering entire spaces or rooms unusable. How do we finish what we already have started? And how can we prevent this cycle from happening again? Come geek out with me on episode 33 called Finishing and Revising Home Projects. Also, this is a good one to listen to if you're stuck down the road on getting your mind right to finish a project, because you can always listen again. If you happen to know someone in the market to buy or sell soon in the greater metro Portland, Oregon area, kindly send them my way. The finest compliment I can receive is the confidence of your referral. You can always find links for connecting with me in the show notes. That includes getting on my calendar. If you're enjoying this episode, do yourself a favor and subscribe to the show so new episodes are automatically queued for you. It's one less thing you need to go search for, reducing your mental load. Thanks for sitting in on this conversation about creating a home that thrives. I'll meet you back here for the next episode.